As followers of Christ, as sons and daughters of light, what should we do? Should we heed this warning that if we cannot shine our light, this is what is going to happen to them? No longer for good and be thrown out and continue to work with this matter, whatever we have in our hand. Like I said, there is a still hope for those people who's completely turned their ears off to the warnings, to the message of Christ. There's a still hope as long as they are breathing, they are alive in this world. God still loves them equally as he loves us inside the church and outside. It doesn't matter if we are inside the church, if in the crowd, or we are outside the crowd. He still loves us. He does not give up on us. So what should we do as Christians, as followers of Christ? Pastor Keith, actually, when he gave a message on discipleship, a disciple of Christ and just a Christian, it really opened my eyes to see that who am I really? A Christian following the Christian traditions or a disciple of Christ? If I'm a Christian and just following the Christian tradition, then I'm just a Christian. There are many, many Christians outside. But if I'm really a disciple of Christ, then I will have that lamp, that light with me. You will be the lamp on a stand, the city on a hill. This is what our goal is. It's not some beautiful words, than wise words of Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate purpose of our existence. Why we are here? Why bother following Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago, and just saying that we are following him because, fill in the blanks, because my mom and dad were Christians, this is all we know, we don't know whether it's true. I have heard these excuses. We don't know whether it's true or not, but my grandma, my grandpa, everybody, all the ancestors were following this religion, so I'm following it. That's why I'm in the church. And we become so judgmental, you know, inside the church that we believe that everybody's outside is just have nothing to do with it. And I have heard words of judgment, words of wrath from my Christian brothers and sisters. Just recently in U.S., there is a group of Christians trying to save Christmas because one of the schools refused to put up a Christmas tree. And they were with loudspeakers outside condemning all kinds of things and, you know, pushing God to bring wrath on this school's principal. Is this the light we are supposed to shine? What are we conveying as Christians, as followers of Christ, to this school who just refused? I'm not in the favor of that school. If I would be there, I would probably join that group, or put up our Christmas tree, bring back our Christmas tree, save the Christmas. But we are not really here to save the Christmas or the Christmas tree. Our purpose in this world is to save the souls, to win the souls for Christ. Not bringing some sort of ideas from our denominational leader and say, oh, this is what they're doing, so it's wrong and they should be punished for what they're doing, and we are going to punish them by suing them. Look at the amount of lawsuits Christians have against Christians in U.S. alone last year. Over 120,000 complaints church leaders filed against another church leaders. What kind of light we are shining? Are we really the lamp? What kind of lamp we are? it sometimes looks like we clearly are the broken lambs. Now, just this Christmas season, many Christians, so-called Christians, I quote Christians in quotations, quotes, Christians, not all of them, but many Christians, they are just fighting to get gifts, unnecessary gifts that we don't even need. Because it's a tradition and it's so close to our heart, we don't want to lose it. How do we behave during this time of the year? Do we intentionally present Christ to the world around us? Or just join the bandwagon and do whatever the world is doing? Is this how we are supposed to shine our light? To be the light means that we are ready to give up our lives and to bring light in the darkness of others' lives. That's what the lamp does. You know, I have seen the real lamp when I was in Africa. And the real lamp that Jesus is talking about here is not the candle. It's not the bulb. It's the lamp that is made from mud. And it's a clay thing, a small vessel. They put oil in it. And then they put a small a cotton, kind of like a cotton string in it. And when you light that string until it just burns up, it gives light. So the whole string of that cotton burns up to give light. This is the lamp Jesus is talking about. It's not that, oh, I go to church every Sunday nonstop since 1,000 years. So not 1,000 years, but whatever. So you got the point. So I've never missed a single church service. I am an elder, I'm a deacon, I'm a coffee server, I'm an usher, and I pay all my tithes, my offerings, and I sing in choir, and that's my life. No, that's what our products are. That's the byproducts of that light. These are not light in itself. These are some of the things that we unintentionally do, because the light that's within us, it makes us do those things. But the real light is when we are willing to give up our comfort, to give up our life, to give up ourselves for someone else, to remove their darkness. And this light is not our light. It comes from the great source of light. I'm not talking about the sun, S-U-N. The Son of God. In John 1, chapter 1, verse 3-5, this writer, Holy Spirit, clearly says, what is this light? Let's just turn with me, and I know I'm bringing it a different spin on it, but that's the only spin I could get from the Bible. So, John chapter 1, verse 3-5. The description of this light that we are supposed to light, that we were supposed to shine, is here. Verses 3-5. Let me read it. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It is not our good deeds light, or I'm good light, or I'm morally, ethically very good light. It is this light that John is talking about. The light of Jesus Christ. When he came in the world, he just removed the darkness. And that is the light we are supposed to shine. It shines in the darkness. Look around us. We live in a very dark period of history. persecutions on Christians around the world is at rising. Just in 2014 alone, there was not a single week when some Christians, some followers of Christ somewhere in the world are being beaten, tortured, or murdered. From Middle East to China and beyond, Christians are being ridiculed, they are being mocked, they are being tortured and killed every day. Thank God that we still have that freedom here in our nation, in Canada. We can practice our faith here freely. It's awesome. We can preach peacefully. In Canada, you don't go out and say, you don't believe in what I believe, so I'm going to shoot you. No, we preach peacefully. We debate peacefully. And this freedom often makes me question myself. The question that comes to my mind is, what am I doing with all that I have here? How am I using God's greatest blessing that I have in Canada for His kingdom? Jesus did not teach us nowhere in the Bible to keep our lamps under our bed. He wants us to keep it on the stand so the whole world can see it. That's the point of it. The whole world can see it and get light from it. We know that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus again said, "We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world if we are the disciples of Christ. We are the city on a hill." This Christian Baptist Church is the city on a hill, so people can see from faraway places that this is where the light is. We are supposed to be light-giving, life-giving community. We are supposed to bring people out of their darkness, not join them in their darkness. All these passages about light and darkness teaches only one thing. How are we supposed to live as the follower of Christ? What is our ultimate goal and purpose of this life? Like I said, our good deeds are not the light. They are the byproduct of that light. And we cannot bring the light into the world on our own. Jesus is the only source of light. And Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The true light can only come through this life-giving light that comes from Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, when I was reading this, I learned a little bit of Hebrew when I was in seminary, and I always like to go back when some themes in the New Testament are recurring. I go back and see what the Old Testament is saying about this word. So when I went back to Old Testament, I found the word light in two different categories. One is called Or in Hebrew, which means become the light. And it's been used for Israelite to become the light among Canaanites, among Egyptians when they were in the slavery. And then there is another interesting thing happened when I was going through all these words, Shekinah, glory. And sometimes this Shekinah word is replaced with the word Or, which means glory. What is glory? Glory is unexplainable light. You know, it's God's light. It's God's glory. Oh, your face looks glorious. And we don't really know what does it mean, but we know that it must be something good. So when I was reading all this stuff, it just hit me that We are supposed to be God's glory in this world. We, me and you and all Christian brothers and sisters around the world, we are supposed to present that glory to the world, because the world can see it. And if we are not there to show that glory, then who else is going to do it? But the problem is, we live in a society where we are so afraid to talk about God's glory. Because as soon as you say God or Jesus, people look at you as if you have two horns on your head, and you just retreat. And it's very natural that we retreat to our comfort place, because we are human beings. But we shouldn't be discouraged. We shouldn't be afraid. We should be always willing, despite of whatever coming to us, willing to share that glory, willing to share that light to the world. The whole purpose of our life surrounds around this theme. We are the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, these stories or parables, as we know them, have deeper meaning than just bringing them occasionally in our conversations or just having a slogan on our t-shirt or on the bumper sticker of our car. All the parables in the Bible that Jesus spoke points to one thing only. How are we supposed to live? And what should we do with our life? Witness, witness, witness. Witness his love to the world. Shine your light and be that lamp that burns brighter than anything else in this world. Don't be afraid or embarrassed. You are made for this. We are made for this. We are made to do this. We are to put a big display of God's love, mercy, faithfulness, providence, and hope to everyone around us. You know, when you go outside in the daylight, the sun shines and it gives light to everyone, regardless of who it's shining on. It can be black, white, blue, purple, any kind of people. But the sun is there. That is how we are supposed to be. And you know, one interesting thing that Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:19, that we, the sons and daughters of God, creation, not just human beings, not this world, not our neighbors, not this new market or Canada in general, the whole creation eagerly awaits to see the son and daughters of God, the sons and daughters of God. Some of these words, you know, we just read them, but we don't really get them. And when I get them, I just get excited. God, really? I don't know anyone in my life who is eager to wait me except my three girls when they are hungry. You know, when mommy's coming home, we are hungry. But the creation, universe, everything eagerly is waiting to see who are these people. The sons and sons and daughters of God, the Most High God. If we are the lamp, that lamp that Jesus said, then even the creation wants to see us. The creation wants to meet with us. The biggest deception of our age in our society is the religious pluralism that we live in. And more churches are accepting it as the way to go by. Okay, I get a strength from you, you get a strength from me. We all have a little bit light here and there, so let's join our light and make a bigger light. Join. I'm talking about different religions or different faiths. But there are very few who sees it and say, no, There is only one source of light. And we have the light. We should not be ashamed of it. We should not, yes, we will be ridiculed. We will be mocked for it. Oh, you think you have the light and all the rest of the world is wrong? Oh, yeah, it is. It is. The rest of the world is wrong. Only Jesus Christ is right. We do not worship all the gods that the world, the same God that the world worships. Our God is different God. It's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it's the same God for everyone, but we do not worship the same God as everyone else worships. So we have to be very intentional and very clear about our convictions. We are right. Christ is right. Because we are not using our words. We are using the word of the Son of God. Through him, everything is created. He cannot be wrong. You know, Jesus knew it long time ago, what's going to happen to us here in 2014 and down the road. That's why he again and again teaches the same thing in all of his teachings, in those four Gospels. He again and again asks us to be the light, to be the salt, to be the city, to just shine, 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 witness his love. Now, our job is to ask ourselves these questions. Are we fulfilling his goal, his purpose that he put in our life? It's not my goal, my purpose. It's his purpose, his goal. When was the last time I knocked at my neighbor's door and offered them help? When did I ask them how they are doing? When did I see them outside my cultural, ethnic, and even denominational pride? Now, as New Year is coming, like I said in the beginning, this is the last Sunday of 2014. So next Sunday is going to be next year, New Year. Make this our New Year's resolution or whatever you want to call it. I want to be the lamp on a stand, not under the bed. It's not a good idea. What does a lamp or a burning candle do if you put it under a bed? It's going to burn the whole house down. It's dangerous. So make this your New Year's resolution next year, next Sunday, that or starting from today, work on it today, but keep it in written, formal. We are Canadians. We want to do everything, you know, formal in writing. I want to be the lamp on a stand, a city on a hill. I want to be the child of light so the whole world can see Christ through me. I want to give light to the ones who are walking in the darkness. That's all we are called to do, we are supposed to do. Be that lamp in 2015. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Let us be the lamp. Let us shine your light. Let us not be ashamed of who we are, but be filled with your glory. Let us witness your true love to this broken an empty world. Let us be the lamp on the stand, a city on a hill. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen.
You can be seated. Before Rose gives the benediction, there's a little bit of announcement. Rose is going to be moving to Niagara Falls. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. I hope I'm not going to break down.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, God has a different plan for our life. I thought I'm going to move up here to Newmarket or Bradford, but God has opened a door for us to move to Niagara Falls. So we already moved in on 26th, and today I drove from Niagara Falls to here. And it was a emotional drive, but, you know, it happened all the time. Whenever we are settled somewhere in our comfort zone, God just come and kicked us out of there and said, go. So we don't know. We have no idea why we are in Niagara Falls at this time, but He will tell us. And just keep us in your prayer. Yeah. And I will be coming back and forth from Niagara Falls to here, because I have still some stuff to do at Tyndale. So I will be visiting here a lot. And it's not Africa. It's just 1 hour drive. So, yeah.
I'm so glad, Rose, that God brought you to us. I mean, for the past year, you've been serving with us.
I just love it.
And you've been a great friend to me, a godly woman, very wise, great advice. I've learned a lot from you, and I'm sure we all have. And I'm glad God wrote you into, CBC's life, into my life. And my hope is that we will support Rose in prayer as she goes through this journey with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to pray for you, Rose.
Sure.
Yeah. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you again for Rose and for her family, for Amir, for Cheryl, Abigail, and Alicia. I just pray that you will just pour your grace upon them through this journey, Lord. There are some uncertainties, but God, you are in control. And Rose and her family know that, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. And Father, I just pray that you will go before them, that you will pave the way, you will speak to them, Lord, that they will listen and hear your voice for their lives, that their family will be a light unto Niagara Falls, Lord, that they will spread the gospel, that they will be disciples, reconciling people to you, Lord, that you will be so huge in Rose's life, in their family life, that they will shine your light. Bless them, Lord. Give them peace in whatever they're doing. Also for the girls going to new schools, Lord, may you protect them, give them peace, and continue to abide in their lives in such a huge way, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
So this is going to be our home church in many, many years. We used to go to Anglican church for almost 7 years when we moved from Calgary. But after some things happened in Anglican doctrine, so we decided to move on. And after so many prayers, God miraculously connected me to Pastor Keith just before when I was looking for internship. And ever since we came here, we feel like this is where God wanted us to be. That's why we became so comfortable. And I really love this place, and it is an emotional roller coaster kind of thing for us. But you know, we just have to be. I don't want to be anywhere without God's will. So it's His will, and it's sometimes hard. We are like Jonah. We don't want to go. We rather end up in whale's stomach than where God wants us to be. But it's better to follow God's will. So keep me in your prayer, and I will be coming back, as I said, and just remember me and my family. And let's rise for benediction. So as we heard today, that the only purpose of our life is to be the salt, to be the light to the world. So may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guide us. And as we depart this place, we go out, let us shine our lights to the world around us. Go in peace.